Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fellow fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend. As always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of the weekend editions of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Saturday, April 13th. We'll start it off with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. Our first IL placement, shortstop Carlos Correa, landed on the 10-day IL with a right oblique strain. Correa was officially placed on the IL. A direct corresponding move has yet to be made, as the team opted for a couple of temporary options for their doubleheader yesterday. Willie Castro filled in at shortstop on Saturday, and he could hold down the position until Correa returns or until the team's number two prospect, Brooks Lee, gets the call for his major league debut. Bobby Miller hit the 15-day IL with a right intercostal strain. The move became official late on Saturday, so Miller will hit the IL, with the transaction being retroactive to April 11th. That would put Miller on track to return by late April if all goes well in his recovery. During Miller's absence, the Dodgers will have a couple of options to fill his spot in the rotation. The team is comfortable going with bullpen games featuring bulk relievers. That choice would see Ryan Yarbrough or Michael Grove receive an influx of innings. The other option for the Dodgers would be promoting Kyle Hurt or Nick Frasso, right-handers on the 40-man roster and at the AAA level. Neither has pitched exceptionally in the minor so far, and Hurt was used out of the pen during his brief stint on the 26-man roster, so this could be a situation where the Dodgers go with bullpen games for the next week until Walker Buehler has completed his rehab assignment. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Yariel Rodriguez was officially recalled from the minors. Surprisingly, he started the Blue Jays game against the Rockies. Rodriguez tossed 68 pitches across just 3 2/3 before turning the ball over to displaced starter Bowden Francis, who earned the win. We could see these two paired in future outings. Starting pitcher Nick Lodolo was activated from the 15-day IL. In his first start back, the Southpaw obliterated the weak White Sox lineup. Lodolo tossed 5 2/3 shutout innings with just 2 base runners while punching out a whopping 10 batters in leading baseball with 42% CSW on the day. His curveball was unhittable with 9 whiffs on 58% CSW, and Lodolo should be rostered everywhere, and after proving no ill effects of his injury, should be an auto start against the Angels on Friday. In terms of news, unfortunate. Starting pitcher Spencer Strider underwent internal brace surgery to repair his UCL, and the game's top pitcher will miss the remainder of the season. As another ace falls, the Braves have plenty of options in the minors to turn to. AJ Smith, Shaver, Bryce Elder, Dylan Dodd, Huascar Ulloa, and Alan Winans are all on the 40-man roster and in AAA, and one of them should get the call this weekend. Shortstop Trevor Story underwent arthroscopic surgery to repair the posterior labrum in his shoulder. Story will be forced to sit out for the rest of the season, similarly to Strider. David Hamilton has been filling in at shortstop in Story's absence, but the season-ending surgery could clear a path for a early debut from Marcelo Meyer, the team's number one prospect. And lastly, outfielder Christian Yelich won't play all weekend, and the Brewers will make a decision early next week on the necessity of placing him on the IL. Yelich is dealing with lower back discomfort, which is an issue that has presented problems throughout his career. And given his history of back troubles, I'd expect Yelich to precautionarily land on the IL for the minimum amount of time. And now we'll check out the notable performances from Saturday, a day in which we had a packed slate of 17 games as the Yankees and Guardians, as well as the Twins and Tigers, partook in doubleheaders. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Jordan Westberg versus the Brewers, as the Orioles lost, but he went 3-for-5 with a run, a home run, and 2 runs batted in. It was his 3rd home run of the year, and it traveled 400 feet with a 103.4 mile per hour exit velocity. Westberg may be the most unheralded prospect of the young Baltimore offensive core. He tore up the upper levels of the minors after being selected in the first round in 2020. However, Westberg was underwhelming in his 68-game debut in 2023. The biggest knock on his game was the lack of power. After hitting 18 long balls at AAA in a similar sample size the same year, Westberg hit just 3 balls over the fence at the big league level. Was it the deep left field fence in Baltimore that sapped Westberg's power, or was his minor league production just a mirage? It looks like he's flipping the script in 2024 as his home run on Saturday tied him for the total he hit in 55 more games last year. Don't worry about Baltimore holding him back. The majority of his dingers have come at home this year as well. Westberg should be rostered in all leagues with at least 12 teams because of his everyday role in the middle of a loaded Baltimore lineup with multi-position eligibility. Taylor Ward went off, but the Angels still lost. He went 2-for-4 with a run, a home run, and 2 runs batted in. He's up to 5 home runs on the year now, and this one traveled 407 feet with a 102.7 mph exit velocity. Ward has taken full advantage of batting cleanup behind Mike Trout this year. Pitchers are smartly pitching around Trout and opting to face the less accomplished Ward, and he's made them pay. His season was cut short last year, but he's proven to have no lingering effects from those injuries. Ward is absolutely pummeling the ball and could be on pace to return to his 2021 form when he hit 23 home runs with a 137 WRC+. At this rate, Ward could produce even better with his premium lineup spot and seemingly increased power output. Ward should be rostered everywhere and will make fantasy managers happy as long as he remains on the field. And lastly, we have Tyro Estrada as he helped the Giants to a win in Tampa Bay, going 3-for-4 with 3 runs, a pair of home runs, 3 runs batted in, and a walk. He's up to 3 home runs on the year now. The first one traveled 397 feet with a 105.8 mph exit velocity, his top exit velocity on the year, and the second one traveled 403 feet with a 104.9 mph exit velocity. Estrada needed this game after batting just 185 with a home run entering Saturday. His offensive explosion has yet to completely fix the aesthetics of his stat line, but he's quelling fantasy managers' fears that he would burn them as they started to believe in him as a reliable contributor. Estrada is known for his 4-category production, and there's hope that he can break out further with a fortified Giants lineup, bumping up his run production numbers. As a Giants fan, I'd love to see Estrada have an all-star caliber season. I don't truly expect that to happen, but he's an underrated middle infield option in roto leagues. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Saturday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances, opening with Mackenzie Gore in Oakland as he earned the win, tossing 5 scoreless innings, allowing just 4 hits with 1 walk and striking out 11 batters. Gore induced 20 whiffs with a 39% CSW across 90 pitches, and Gore took full advantage of a weak A's lineup, absolutely melting their bats with newfound fastball velocity. His heater sat 96 and induced 12 whiffs and 40% CSW, while his trio of secondaries mixed well with 8 combined whiffs. With a new fastball that sports not only better velocity but improved IVB and elite extension, Gore has a shot to finally reach the expectation bestowed upon him as a top prospect. Still just 25 years old, the 2017 number 3 overall pick could be setting out on a breakout campaign in his second full season. He'll be tested in his next matchup against the Astros, but he's rostered in less than half of Yahoo leagues, and I think Gore should be a staple in 12-team leagues. Just look for wins elsewhere. Max Meyer earned the win versus the Braves, tossing 6 innings, allowing just 6 hits with 1 earned run and no walks while striking out 7. Meyer induced 23 whiffs with a 36% CSW across 91 pitches, and Meyer has looked like a Toby to start the year, but Tobys don't usually lead baseball in whiffs and earn the gallows pole. His 3-pitch mix ate up the vaunted Braves lineup. His slider recorded 12 whiffs with 37% CSW, but he proved that he's not just a 1-pitch pitcher with 11 whiffs across his fastball and changeup. The latter is yet to become a reliable third option, and Meyer's command is all over the place. But if he can have this kind of success against the Braves, maybe just having 3 pitches that he can trust makes him a viable fantasy option. The third overall pick in 2020, Meyer is on the right track with a 2.12 ERA across his first 3 starts. Even if he is just a Toby with occasional outbursts like this, Meyer is viable in standard leagues. Meyer will face the Cubs next, and after cruising against the Braves, I don't see why we wouldn't start him in Chicago. And lastly, we have Ryan Nelson versus the Cardinals as he earned the win, tossing 6 innings, allowing 7 hits with 1 run, 1 walk, with 4 strikeouts. Nelson induced 10 whiffs with a 26% CSW across 81 pitches. Nelson didn't dazzle in his first 2 starts against tough offenses, but he rebounded in his first respite. His secondaries failed him, and he was forced to go to 4-seamers more than 50% of the time. But with increased velocity paired with improved IVB and extension, Nelson's fastball dominated with 8 whiffs and 40% CSW. That pitch isn't going to carry him every day, but it gives him an attainable ceiling if even just one of his secondaries is present on any given day. Nelson was already a PLV darling entering the season and will have a secured rotation spot with Eduardo Rodriguez weeks away from returning. Nelson will get the Giants next in San Francisco, and it could be the start we see him put everything together. And if you want a breakdown of every single start from Saturday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily starting pitcher roundup over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Kyle Finnegan tied for the National League lead with his fifth save. This pace won't continue as Finnegan has secured 83% of the Nationals' wins this year. Evan Phillips joined Finnegan atop the National League leaderboard with his fifth save. Phillips should be a dominant force in fantasy this year with no competition in the Dodgers bullpen to force him into a high-leverage role. Clay Holmes topped both of them, though, with his Major League leading sixth save. The Yankees have started the season off hot, and if they keep providing Holmes opportunities, he could rise up closer ranks pretty quickly. Cole Sands recorded his second career save, perfectly recording the final seven outs of the second game of Saturday's doubleheader. Yimi Garcia locked down his first save of the season as he struck out the side in the ninth. He likely won't get many more of those as Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson are set to return this week. Kevin Ginkle secured his third save of the year as he continues to fill in admirably for Paul Sewald. And lastly, Adbert Alzolay notched his second save and continued to maintain his grasp of the closer role in Chicago. And now for the closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves. James MacArthur pitched the ninth with the Royals up by four. MacArthur looks to be the team's closer with Will Smith struggling. Jason Foley pitched the 10th and 11th in a 12-inning loss for the Tigers at the hands of the Twins. He allowed one unearned run and escaped with his pristine ERA intact. Griffin Jacks pitched the 8th in that game and is clearly being used as the high leverage arm and not the outright closer. Michael Kopech pitched the ninth with his team trailing by five. Kopech hadn't pitched in 3 days, so it was a way of keeping him game ready. Jose Alvarado pitched the eighth in a tie game, and Jeff Hoffman earned the win after a scoreless ninth. It's a clear committee in Philly, with Alvarado being the number one option. And lastly, Tanner Scott pitched the ninth with a four-run lead, and it was a good sign that he didn't issue any walks in this one. But if you'd like a breakdown of the notable relief pitching performances from Saturday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. And now we'll look forward to Saturday, April 13th, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Nathan Eovaldi versus Christian Javier. It'll be a Texas showdown as two World Series champion starters square off. In terms of probable starters, we've got 10 guys in the auto starts tier, including Corbin Burns versus the Brewers, Zach Wheeler versus the Pirates, and Cole Reagans in New York. Our probably starts tier has 6 guys, and our questionable starts tier has 10, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day. It's not a great day for streaming. Graham Ashcraft will take on the White Sox in Chicago. Ashcraft has incredible stuff, but he struggles to command it. Maybe he can figure things out against a weak White Sox lineup. I'd also keep an eye out for Alex Wood versus the Nationals. He could survive long enough to earn a win against the lowly Nats. In terms of hitter suggestions, I would say Blue Jays hitters against Kyle Freeland. The Southpaws allowed 17 runs in two road starts this year, and the right-handed Blue Jays bats could continue the trend. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Kyle Finnegan has pitched on back-to-back days, but so have the Nationals' next three best options. I'd expect them to turn to Finnegan again on a third day in a row. And lastly, Evan Phillips has pitched on consecutive days, but so has Daniel Hudson, so Joe Kelly, Ryan Brazier, or Alex Vesia will be your best shot at a vulture save on Sunday. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherlist staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. Bubba will be back with you on Monday and throughout the week. And make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.